This morning we were kind of talking about the devil's influence in the churches, and unfortunately uses, of course, believers to accomplish his evil practices, you know, and he's the prince of the air. So of course, he hates God. Because he hates God, he also hates us. And so what he actually does, you know, attack the church. And sometimes we shouldn't be surprised when he does that in the church. So this morning I kind of prepared something about conspiracy. We were studying that at school in the foundation. So, you know, and I think it's a good just practice for us to truly understand who our enemy is. Because it can happen to any of us. I mean, we can flip like this. We have an old sin nature that we can flip very quickly. So I kind of studied about the word conspiracy. It actually comes from the Latin name conspirare. And it's actually what it means is to breed together. To breed together, to conspire circumstances. Kind of puts the word together, you know, what it is. So conspiracy is plotting a mischief, a gathering together of forces of Satan. I mean, you're thinking about those words, conspiring together or the forces by Satan to frustrate, to defeat, to minimize the service of the church. You know, to minimize the capacity in the Christian service of the local assembly. Also, you know, for the pastor teacher, to the group of believers, anything to destroy that ministry. That's his tactic. That's our enemy. So, this is, unfortunately, like I said, he uses believers to accomplish that. But he uses the weak believer to do that. Somebody who is not taken in Bible doctrine. And it's a backsliding believer, a negative believer. As soon as you have negativity in your heart, the word is not getting in. You create that scar tissue in your soul. Therefore, doctrine doesn't get in. You sin, you don't confess it. You create more scar tissue. You continue to sin. Next thing you know, you're sinning. You don't even know that you are sinning because of the scar tissue in the soul. The pastor teaches the word, it's not getting in because it's scar tissue in the soul. And then pride starts getting in. Arrogance. Yeah. Happens to believers. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, many believers, it happens to them like that. So conspiracy is a united effort to promote own selfishness. Its own way of life. Basically, his own style, his own reputation. That's what he's looking for. It's me. So, in Genesis chapter 37:18, you remember the story about Joseph when his brothers conspired to kill him, right? Because he had a dream. Now, how come we're not going to bow down about this guy? So they conspire to kill him. But you see how God turned that into. So the same thing can happen in a church. Sometimes God uses that to clean a church. You know, to have a new beginning. Because the apple corrupts the entire bucket of apples, you know. So sometimes the Lord just does that, just to clean house and start all over again. Which I'm glad. Look what he did with Joseph. And through that, the entire nation of Israel, you know, came through. The promise. But Joseph was the tool used for that. So never underestimate how the Lord is going to use you in your lives to become that which the Lord has prepared for your specific life. You know, we don't know how he's going to use it, but faithfulness comes from that. Humility, humbleness comes through that. Yeah, if we have pride in our heart, he despises a arrogant heart, a prideful heart. So conspiracy is also mentioned again in Numbers chapter 16. verses, you know, 3, when 250 princes of Israel, Korah was the instigator for that one, against Moses and Aaron. Who are you, Aaron? Moses? God can talk to us too. They conspired against Moses, and God wanted to wipe them all out, and he did. He did. So we also see conspire against David, his own son, Absalom. Mm-hmm. But the funny thing is that God didn't spare Absalom because of the promise to David, all the way from Genesis 12:3, because of the promise. Yeah. So you can see how God works in individual people. So we see the conspiracy against our Lord Jesus from the Pharisees. So it's nothing new. This comparison, I mean, it's from, we see conspiracy against Paul, Peter, the apostles, the early church, all the false teachers that came after that. So conspiracy is not new. It's not new. It's been there from the beginning. I mean, even Eve conspired against God. The serpent, you know, deceived me. And Adam, the woman you gave me. It's all the way from the beginning. And it's not going to end. We think it's going to end. No. We're through it right now. Through the thicket. I mean, we're going through it right now. And unfortunately, it's using people in the local assembly to do that. And how embarrassing that is. Especially to the unsaved. Yep. They see that. They call themselves Christians. The enemy just loves that. And it just goes... Yeah, I got him. Pumps his fist. I got him. And it's for God. I mean, but he's so loving towards us that he knows that we are going to fail that way. In eternity past already, which is in the past, you know, he already took care of that through the Lamb that was slain. So, conspiracy is intrinsic evil. What do I mean with that? Intrinsic evil is not always easy to perceive. You know, it's so difficult to perceive. The devil begins his process in the believer's life, influencing him to live by his feelings. Yeah, by his feelings, rather than every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how he does it. He actually, one of the principal characteristics of intrinsic evil is that it's contagious. It is actually in the next phase of that, infectious. Infects other believers. Infects the body of believers. That's why in our other church we were, as soon as that happened, it was thrown out immediately, because it infects. But again, we can't not thrown out, but separate it, because sometimes we have to, if it's necessary, you know. Mm-hmm. To recover that person, because we're all sinners, we're going to sin, so we can't kick the guy on the side of the curb. It's a child of God. It was just utilized by the enemy, but you have to be able to separate him from infecting the other body believers. It is necessary. It is extremely necessary to do that. So the believer who has been affected by intrinsic evil is negative towards the Word of God. See, you may think that it's not, but it is. Because it's negative, because the God says, love your brother. By him not doing it, it's against the Word of God. Because God says, love your brother. So by not loving his brother and becoming a conspiracy against him, he's also conspiring against God. And God is not going to go for that. Yeah, it may sound rough, you know, but that's what God says. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, in actually 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, it says, but evil men are imposters, will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Deceiving and being deceived. Now, evil here is that word poneros. P-O-N-E-R-O-S, which means wicked, worthless, moral, or ethical depravity. That's what the word poneros means. So, she always asked the question, how does a person get to this stage? I mean, he's a believer. Friendly guy, or friendly woman, or whatever it is. Friendly couple. See, guilt is the prime motivation of a person in this category. So you wonder how, why guilt? Though the Holy Spirit is always faithful, lovingly convict that person. We find in John chapter 16, verse 8 and 9. And it says, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. So, you can see that the Holy Spirit has come, you know, in the church age right now. And he's going to convict us of our sins. Because he says, when you sin, you confess it. You confess it. You make it right before the God, before our God. So, you can see that these people that conspire, they don't do that. So, they're disobedient. So they sin, they disobedient. Because the Holy Spirit, you're walking in the light. So if you walk in the light, and that you have fellowship with God, that's very obvious. That if you're not walking in the light, there's no fellowship. You have to be in the light to have fellowship. As soon as you're out, you are in the devil's territory. And guess what? He's going to get in. He just uses that vacuum and he gets in your life. And that's how the whole thing starts. Just a tiny, I don't know if you know about mold. Mold, you just need one speck, one spore of mold to contaminate the entire house if you don't remove it. That's how it starts. Intrinsic evil. Infectious. It will affect the whole body. You must be clean. You gotta remove the mold that way. Clean it. And the mold will kill it. You can't kill the believer. But we have to remove it so it doesn't affect the body of Christ. Yeah. So, the power, the next thing is actually the tongue. The tongue is the tool that the devil uses to infect others who are around this person. It's a mighty tool. James actually defines the tongue, but no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly, evil, full of dead poison. And James was tough. Yeah, that's the tongue. Evil, and here is that word kakos, which is harmful, damages, injures. That's what the word kakos is. So the power of influence of evil is overwhelming today. We've seen it. We were talking about it earlier. How the enemy is really affecting our lives today as believers. Because unfortunately, not many are aware of it. Yeah. Often, as a person, it's a type of deception. You know, it's approach and try to be corrected. But in the arrogance in their lives, usually don't get corrected. Because there's pride in the heart. And you know, you're trying to humbly go to him and correct him, but sometimes he doesn't want to, or she doesn't want to. Why? Because the arrogance, the pride, is you're affecting that pride. You know, God asks us to do that, of course. You know, those ones who are, you know, more mature spiritually, you know, help those who are backsliding or that are not really into that. They're really falling away from the faith. So that's our job. It's commanded for us to do it. But some of them, they don't do it because they think that you're going to talk about them. And then pride gets in and they don't accept that. So unfortunately, you may lose some of them. But as you can see, they, instead of accepting them, the correction, they rather ridicule the body. So you must be careful when that happens as well. They rather ridicule than accept the conviction. well, sometimes they also try to, instead of you trying to correct them, they believe that they're not in fault. They always believe that the other person is in fault. And in this case, of course, talking about the pastor teacher, was always his fault. And it could be said of something that he said that he took out of context. He was talking about me. We don't know. He stepped on my toes. It could be that small. It can become this big. You know. So, now, in Titus chapter 1, 9 to 12, describes, of course, the difference between the two people who can accept, you know, the counsel, the ones who doesn't. Conspiracies against the pastor teacher. Jeremiah chapter 26 and 2 Corinthians 11 describes conspiracy against the pastor teacher. Now, conspiracy may be instigated by a church member, like we talked before, who holds secret meetings, you know, in the pretense of helping the church. But I say it's like, oh, we try to help the pastor. That's the pretense. Run the church better, or whatever it is to try to attract the other. What they need is just need another body, another believer, so they can start something to infect the other believer. So, and he's a very nice, well spoken person. Oh, yeah. He looks like a leader type. Oh, yeah. So, affect the other people and infect the other people. That's how it also, that's the conspiracy started getting bigger. But it all started with one individual. And then infecting the rest. That's how it starts. Well, when in reality, conspiratorial evil is the initial stages to divide or division, cast suspicion on, to destroy the assembly, and to promote conspiracy. Now, therefore, the first sign of a scheme against the pastor teacher is seen in the principle when people involve do not hear the word of God. Now, these type of people also, they may come and attend Bible class. They will attend it, but the word of God is not penetrating. Like I said, they're out of fellowship. They may come even every single time in class, but it's not penetrating. In fact, they're gathering data, just like a virus on a computer. It goes there, takes all the data you have. Next thing you know, it's too late. Therefore, the first principle is that the pastor teacher must preach with conviction. They said the pastor is asked, it's mandated to preach the word of God in season and out of season. And sometimes our toes are going to hurt. But if you're in fellowship with the Lord, the word is actually, it's gonna mold you and grow you to the image of Christ. But if you're reacting, that's where conspiracy starts. It's dangerous. Very dangerous. Now, as a small body, you can actually, you know, it becomes more, of course, overt when it's a large congregation. In a large congregation, sometimes you don't even know that it's happening. When Absalom was conspiring against David, it took him 40 years. Yeah, and he did it. So you don't see it like this. In a small setup, of course, you're going to see it immediately. But again, you can ask him, especially when his own, all the people left David, even his advisor left him and went against him and united with Absalom. His chief of staff left him. And all the people were throwing stones at David. He said, no, let them go. Maybe that's God's own way to. And later on we see how God shut that door to Absalom, because David had a heart toward God. Mm-hmm. And Absalom did not. He conspired against the chosen of God. That's how God works. Just like he did with Moses. He destroyed those who were conspiring against Moses and Aaron. That's how God works. That's why God had to destroy Israel. That's conspiring against God Himself, and had to wipe them out. That's comparison. It's a strong evil, intrinsic evil. God doesn't allow it. God doesn't allow it. Satan's tactics. Now, the pastor preaches a difficult and convicting message. The congregation gathered together to determine, you know, that it's a hard saying, the results of that message. And some may say, well, it is a hard saying. Just like in John chapter 6, verse 60, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. They were offended. So somebody who believes may be offended by something that was said in the church. But sometimes the pastor is convicting, the Holy Spirit is convicting the pastor to preach something in that church sometimes. But it's not well received. And which becomes, if you're not filled with the Spirit, becomes a basis of conspiracy. The truth is that his teaching is from the Bible, in principle, as well as reference to specific verses. We can only teach the Word of God, that's it. Verse by verse. We can't teach anything outside the Word of God. God has commanded the pastor to preach in season and out of season. And we have to teach in and out of season. When you get the portion of scripture where God says you have to preach it, not just the good things, the positive things, you got to preach the negative things as well. You got to go through it and preach it. That's when you're going to get some reaction. But that's what God wants us to do, to preach the whole counsel of God. We can't pick and choose. Churches, pulpits, pick and choose what they want because they want their audience to hear a positive message, to tickle the ear of those who are present. But it's not what God wants us to do. Never softening the message to preserve the old sin nature. Now, why does Satan attack the church, the pastor? Because God has given the authority to the pastor to teach the Word of God. That's how God works now. It was through the apostles. And he gave some as apostles, some as evangelists, some as pastor teachers. Prophets were no more prophets, but the pastor teachers. Taking the place of the prophets right now. So he gave the authority to the pastor. So the pastor now is proclaiming the Word of God. So he has given him the authority so that the pastor will not preach, will preach the Word of God. So what Satan wants to do, he doesn't want the pastor to preach the whole counsel. And that's his whole tactic. So he doesn't want us to teach the Word of God. Okay, just preach whatever they want to hear. Just giving a good sermon there. 15 minutes. They feel good, they go home. That's what Satan wants to do. But we're not going to be molded. We're not going to be edified. When a little circumstances come, you're going to collapse flat on your face. Mm-hmm. You have no Bible doctors, no good meat to get a hold of. And just McDonald's. Yeah, there's nothing there, you know. But that's Satan's tactic. But God wants us to have a nice steak, good meat, not just cereal. You're hungry half an hour later. Another technique that Satan uses is to incapacitate the believer and to overwhelm them with internal and external pressure. That's his tactic. See, if the believer is full with internal and external pressure, they don't have the capacity. They collapse. And Satan uses that pressure to get in. That's how he used it. So the believer lacks character, wisdom, and healthy emotions. You're supposed to have good, healthy emotions to think doctrine. Think God. To think doctrine. Think how God thinks. That's healthy emotions. Instead, if the enemy got him, when he saw this pressure, he puts a lot of pressure on them, gets them busy, not in the church but in their own things, and they get so much pressure they can't handle it, and then Satan gets in, he overstakes them, he uses their weaknesses, and Satan takes advantage of that, and stress quickly overtakes them. In the last days, of course, it is extremely vital for training in the spiritual warfare. It's unfortunately that this is not taught in the churches. You know, we're very familiar with warfare, of course. So we try to put on full armor of God to defend that. See, that's the one thing that the enemy doesn't want us to do. He doesn't want us to put the full armor, the helmet of salvation, the full armor, you know, and the sword, so we can defend ourselves against him. See, he always wants to accuse us before the Father, but he has no authority. Before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain. So the authority is there. So now what he tries to do is accuse us. See, Lord, look what they did. And God says, get out of here. It is a done deal. It is finished. He tried to accuse us without authority. Just going to court. These are the guilty. Look what they did. And the judge says, just know, it's clean. I died for you. I died for him. I took his sins and I tossed it as far as east from the west. The authority has been given to the Lord Jesus. In Galatians 2:20, because it says, because I died with Christ, I rose with Christ, and seated in heavenly places, and seated next to Christ. Satan can touch me. Positionally, I'm seated with Christ. The only thing he can mess up is my experientially. That's why conspiracy, he tries to attack that. He knows that. But we are positionally seated in the right hand of the Father. The ascension, when Christ ascended to the Father, that's why he told Mary, you know, I need to go to the Father, because she was hanging on to the Lord Jesus. He has to ascend. That's your eternal security right there. He ascended, therefore we ascended with him as well. We are positionally in Christ. He can only affect your experiential on earth. That's what he can do. He tried to accuse you, but God says, look, it's a done deal, it's paid, it's paid for. That's the only thing that Satan can attack, is our experiential on earth. But we are still in the heavenly places forever. So Titus chapter 1 verse 18, it says, these are charged and commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage a good warfare. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds. Yeah, that's our weapons of warfare. Now the question is, how does a Christian guard against internal conspiracy? Because if we're going to be guarded about it, we have to know how. Like I said in the beginning, this can happen to us. So we must be prepared to be able to guard our hearts from that. Because the enemy is going to try to get in. And when the enemy starts, he continues. So we must shut the door to the enemy. So how do we prepare for that? Well, we can avoid this by being occupied with Christ. In Luke chapter 16 verse 13, what it says, no one can serve two masters. It's either you're serving God or you're serving the devil. Bottom line, you can't be in and out of fellowship every 5 minutes. We must stay in fellowship 24/7. Look what we can do while we are in fellowship. Look what we can do when we're not in fellowship. But in fellowship, we can defeat the enemy. Out of fellowship, he will defeat us. He wants us to eat out of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. His tree. He wants us to eat from there. He doesn't want us to eat from the tree of life. That's the tree of God. He wants us to be in His side. But we must be filled with the Spirit 24/7. If all possible. We're going to sin. That's your needs. Get up. Keep going. Lord, forgive me. Name it. He knows it already. Just agree with Him. He knows it. He knows it before we even commit it. So just agree with Him and you move on. So, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, fixing our eyes in Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. In James chapter 4, verse 10, it says, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord. He will exalt you, and we must be true to the Word of God and faithful to the local assembly. That's a must. When you're not faithful, you can use that gap to get in also. We must be single-eyed toward doctrine. Matthew chapter 6, 22. The eye is the lamp of our body. For the body. We should guard our tongue. Keep our hearts pure. And be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a must. We must guard our hearts. It has to be pure. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. That's the great center believer. Will be enabled to live by every word of God. That's the only way. The one who is occupied with Christ will not receive negative statements. It's impossible. We occupy with the body of Christ. He will be careful what he hears and how he hears. That's very important. What he hears and how he hears. Because we can hear things that is not said. We can always add things to it. But the Word of God will never contradict itself. So if the God is talking to the pastor, it's what he has to say. That's why we have to teach in season and out of season. Accurately the Word of God. Not ours, but the Word of God. So, he is on guard against sentimentality and relationships based on personality rapport. He allows God to establish true friendship in his life. He will establish that based on doctrinal rapport. Not my own, but God's personal rapport. He is careful not to make implications against the people of God. Important. He has an attitude of availability towards them in a loving way, in an edifying way. And lastly, in addition, these things the mature Christian prays. The mature Christian prays for the body. Prays for those who are backsliding in the walk with God. He loves them and speaks. He doesn't speak negativity towards them. That's how a mature believer works. He commits them to God and lets Him reward them accordingly. So that's how we guard ourselves for conspiracy. We must do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. If we do it in the energy of the flesh, we're going to perish. He's going to win. The devil has something against us that he's more powerful than us. That he has. But Christ resurrected and He also ascended. Therefore, the head of the Satan got crushed. We are sitting in the heavenly thrones. So when the Satan tries to attack you, tell him, Satan, tell me a little about yourself. Where are you going to end up? You're going to go to hell with all your other angels. You don't belong here. Just get out of here. That's how you attack Satan. He has no power over us. He's done. He knows his future. So he's trying to get whatever he can get right now, which is actually an experiential right now while we're waiting for Christ. But positionally, we're still in the heavenly thrones. and he knows it. Amen.